Thank you. people of faith all over the world tonight. We got a prayer to pray, we got something to say, we got something to say. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. We got a prayer to pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Eyes up tonight, eyes up tonight, pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. We will not lose heart. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing of Jesus Christ the risen one. Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing of Jesus Christ the saving one. He saves, he saves, he saves. Here we see that God's your move. It's true, the mighty river through. All is not lost. Young and old will turn to cheer. Pray! Fling wide you heavenly gates. Prepare the way of the risen Lord. All over the world tonight, sing songs of faith, songs of faith. Oh, open up the doors and let the music. We're singing, singing, singing. Do you feel the darkness tremble? When all the saints join in the same song, and all the streams flow as one river. To do what? To wash away. We can see it. Now we see that God, you're moving. A mighty river. When young and old will turn to Jesus, Jesus, fling wide you heavenly gates. Prepare the way of the risen Lord. He's reigning and returning. And open up the doors and let the music play. People of faith, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come. Yeah, make it right again. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come and bring your kingdom. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus.
Yeah, over your life, your family.
Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
Good morning, everybody, and God bless you this morning on this July 8th, year of our Lord, 2024. And make sure that microphone is up here and we can get ready to start here. I just want to make sure that everything is on the up and up for this stream. We want to make sure that the Godcast is righteous and ready and has all of the bells and whistles that we're used to. But it is July 8th. I hope you guys had a fantastic 4th of July weekend. I know there was a lot of people traveling. I know there was people camping. Ray, I have not seen that yet. I will look at that today. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, we talk about this all the time. And we're blessed every day that we wake up. We are blessed. We are blessed with sight, smell, sound, heartbeat, love, life, laughter, children, blessings. And nothing is promised. You know, we just have this kind of inherent default setting that almost keeps disaster away. Like, oh, that's not going to happen to me for years. That's not going to, I don't have to worry about that right now. I got other things to worry about. And, you know, we lose our sight or our focus of God and the words of Jesus. And, you know, sometimes we stray and we come back, but we're never promised. And I think that's why Ray Comfort says, you're going to think about what we talked about? And somebody says yes. And he says, when are you going to give your life to Jesus? And they say, very soon. And he's like, why soon? Why not right now? You don't know if you're going to live until tomorrow. You don't know. You're not promised anything. Why not be sure now and give your life to Christ now? And what I'm getting at, ladies and gentlemen, is this last weekend, one of our own has left this earth. And I got to be honest with you. When I found out, it hurt. Like, it truly hurt. Like, I stopped whatever I was doing and I prayed. I prayed for his salvation. I prayed for his heart. I prayed for his soul. I prayed for his family. I'm talking about Larry Riha. Ladies and gentlemen, it's sad to say, but I must report that Larry Riha passed away suddenly this weekend. And I still don't know how. I did not see this video that has been posted on Facebook that I just found out about. But I did get word that Larry Riha has passed away. So what I would like to do right now is I would like to remember a little bit about Larry as we get started here this morning. Larry was a very lost soul. Larry was hurting physically and spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I remember when Larry first came to Rise Up, and he was so against God. And I wouldn't say he had a personal vendetta. He just never allowed God to show up in his life. And through this process, and by your friendship to him, and people he talked to personally because of Rise Up, Larry came to know Christ. And I can remember week after week after week after week after week, he would talk about his relationship with his wife. You guys remember? He would say how horrible and hard it was every day, and that his wife did not accept his accepting of Christ, and his wife did not accept his political stance. Now, I don't know, you know, because I only heard one side of that story, but what I will say is that he was a man who was in a lot of pain. He would come in every morning and he would cry out for help, whether he meant to or whether he didn't. And he was seeking the Lord. He was seeking the word of God. He was yearning for Christ when he found his way to Rise Up. And then he fell off the path a couple times. And the second time he fell off the path, he really was very, very, very rude in the live chat to the Live from America family. Over and over again, you could tell his demons were really coming out. And he wouldn't stop. So we muted him. We silenced him in the live chat because he was just causing a lot of distraction. Never hated the guy or anything. We just said, we're not going to allow that here. We're not going to remember. We're not going to allow the division, you know. And a couple weeks ago now, Larry had apologized for the things that he'd said in the live chat to everyone. And we unmuted him because we want people to be here. We don't not want the people that have been muted in the past to not be here. We just can't allow the distraction and the division in the live chat. And it wasn't because of differences of opinions. It was because of the actions behind those differences of opinions. And I am so happy that we were able to forgive him 2 weeks ago and unmute him and say, welcome back. Like the prodigal son, he had returned. Amanda said, Larry told me on Instagram Messenger that he and his wife did get the shots, but was not to speak about it, so I kept his wishes. I only prayed he was okay. Shan said, I don't remember him being rude to anyone. I saw him being negative. No, he became rude to people too. He was calling people names and telling people to shut their mouths and calling me names and everything. Yeah, we would never mute somebody just because of being negative. If that was the case, there's some other names of people that I could tell you that we could have muted, but we don't do that. Long story short, when I heard the news, it was like a gut punch. And I immediately felt pain, and I immediately went to prayer, immediately stopped what I was doing and went to prayer for his family, for his soul. And I honestly believe, ladies and gentlemen, that Larry was a saved soul. I honestly believe Larry's in heaven with Yeshua, with Yahweh right now. I feel it in my soul. The Holy Spirit is giving me comfort, not pain, that Larry is so much better off where he is. His chat name was Larry Reha. Hair 2 says he was just a lost soul and hurt. That's exactly what he was. And I've lashed out being hurt before, and I've deserved people to shun me and not, you know, give me the time of day because of the way I treated them. And I found my way back, and I repented, and I apologized. We all do. We all do. But it's just incredibly hard to hear that one of our own has passed. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now, ladies and gentlemen. Larry truly found his way through this show and Julie Green's show. He was in Julie Green's show daily as well. And I'm so glad that he found his way. I am so glad. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, with a somewhat heavy heart this morning, we humble ourselves before you and we repent of our sins and our wrongdoing. We repent of people that we've treated wrongly, and we so much appreciate the fact that people forgive as you forgive. Lord, even though we know in our hearts that Larry is with you, with Yeshua, in heaven, in a far better place than he was here, it's still a little painful to us. So forgive us for feeling pain for his family and what he went through while he was here. We know he's not experiencing pain now, Lord. But we know that in a relationship with you is the only way to salvation. So many of us, including Larry, seek to have a relationship with you, but might not be so sure what that means or how to do it. Lord, please help us navigate via the Holy Spirit today through this message so that all of us can change our status to in a relationship. Philippians 4:13 tells us that all things are possible with Christ. I'm an example of that. Larry was an example of that. And so many others that are here today, Lord. Thank you for this message. Lord, thank you for the ability to be able to help bring people to the word through the gospel. And thank you for using us to establish your kingdom here on earth. We pray this in the name of Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. I envy the fact that he's in no more pain. And not a sinful envy, not a coveting envy. I just know in my heart that he is where we will be. And he's resting with no pain until the rapture. I love it. I love that we know where he is. I pray that his wife knows where he is. I would love to see her in this chat. For anything else, at least to just tell her that we love her. Amen. Today's show, ladies and gentlemen, not to abruptly go from honoring one of our own who's passed, but this is a very specific show about what a relationship with Yeshua and what changing your status to being in a relationship entails, what it looks like, and how to get there. Ashley, I do not know how he passed yet. If somebody else knows, we would appreciate that information. I pray that it wasn't suicide. But I don't know. I truly just don't know. Jeremy, can we reach out to Larry's wife? I think folks on Facebook know how to do that. Yes. I do not know how to do that, but I think folks do. Bobby Mannion said, if anyone finds any info on his obituary, please share. Would love to send condolences to the family. I think an outpouring of love from the Rise Up family would be just what they need. And maybe, just maybe, another soul brought to Jesus and his wife. Who knows? I don't know. All I know is that it's God's will, and here we are. So let's talk about in a relationship today. Rise Up number 383. In a relationship, I'm in one, and not with my wife. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm married to Jesus. The way Jesus describes our relationship with him is like describing marrying your wife or your husband. If you were to describe that to somebody, what would that look like? What would that sound like? MDUS, thank you for your kindness, sir. God bless you, and thank you for the $5 donation. The ceremony between a bride and his groom, and a groom and, or a bride and her groom and his bride, and marrying Jesus is very much the same. The ceremony is the same. The promise is the same. The commitment is the same. And he calls us his bride. Let me show you what being in a relationship with Jesus is all about today. And I'd like you to please share this with anybody you can. Because the outreach that we've been able to do here on Rise Up with 1,500 or so people watching a day was great because Larry Reha and his ultimate salvation is the product of spreading the gospel, folks. That is what we did with Christ to reach out and bring people into the loving umbrella of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ, the Trinity. If you could save one soul today and you could share this out, but you don't normally, then please do. Because people need to hear this today. Join me in spreading the gospel live right now. Please go to your newsletters. I sent you all a newsletter. Please go there right now. If you don't have it in your inbox, it's definitely in one of your other folders. Go look, go search, find out where it is. And please open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. That's where we got our verse of the day today from. 1 Corinthians 13:2. Now I'll give you a minute to go there. And while you're going there, I will read to you from Living the 66 Books of the Bible from 1 Corinthians. Few things are as painful as church disagreements. It's possible some disagreements are almost unavoidable. Even Paul and Barnabas clashed in Acts 15. By the way, we went through Acts with Paul and Barnabas yesterday at a church service. But every church conflict does damage to us and to our congregation's testimony. The Apostle Paul grieved over the problems in the church of Corinth. He wrote several letters and made repeated visits there. The book of 1 Corinthians sought to address the central issues. The first six chapters discussed quarrels in the church. Starting in chapter 7, Paul answered questions about other issues. Remember, we're in 1 Corinthians 13:2 today, okay? If you want to open up to that. This book should serve as a warning and a preventative to us. We can learn to be healthier by studying the life of someone with unhealthy habits. In the same way, a firm grasp on 1 Corinthians will help us avoid some of their problems. So let's go there now. 1 Corinthians, ladies and gentlemen. 13:2-7. You guys could go there for me now. I'd appreciate it. Give you another second here. 13:2-7. We have about 1,300 people in here, folks. Please do me the kind favor of sharing and hitting that thumbs up button. Make sure you're still following the page. We need you now more than ever, both in the gospel and in the truth of our political sphere, spectrum, I should say, in our country. Because that's it feels like our politic and the environment of it is on a spectrum these days. Okay, I'm reading from the ESV. And if I have prophetic powers, says 1 Corinthians 13:2, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but not have love, I am nothing. Larry's obituary, Kalia just put it in the live chat. Kalia, can you also put that in the lower chat below the permanent comment section so we can have access to that later? So I can have access to that later? Thank you so much. Let me start that over again, okay? And if I have all prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I do not have love in addition to all of that, then I have nothing. If I give away all I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. These are all things that should be in every relationship, especially a marriage. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth, no matter how hard it is to hear you guys. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I see that that was not the correct obituary, so I just want to put that out there. That was a different Larry, not our Larry Reha. Okay? You got to be careful about that. All right. I want to talk about the Last Supper, because what I found online about the Last Supper and about the ceremony of the Last Supper made my jaw hit the floor. Now, I know we're all talking in the live chat. I know we're all remembering and honoring a fellow LFA member who passed away. But if you really want to honor his memory, then I need you to pay very close attention to what I'm about to read that I've written down for you this morning about what being in a relationship, particularly a marriage, actually means and how it relates to the Last Supper. The Last Supper was a marriage ceremony. That's what it was. You know the marriage ceremonies that we have today? I, Jeremy Harrell, do take Sabrina to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold in sickness and in health, and love her till death do us part. You know those marriage ceremonies that we have? And do you? Yes, I accept as well. Then you both may, you know, you can kiss the bride, and you both can, you know, live a long, happy life together. You are now married in the eyes of God. You have become one in the flesh. Same thing. That's what the Last Supper was. In Jewish times of Jesus, and far predating Jesus, when a man wanted to marry a woman, he and his father would travel to the girl's house, and they would sit down with her and her father. They would then begin the process of negotiating a price for the bride. There's always a price to pay. Always remember that. I have never heard the Last Supper referred to as that. Well, I'm about to blow your mind. You ready for this? So this is the process in somebody choosing a bride. Goes to the bride's house. His father sits down with her father. They all sit down together and they start negotiating a price for that union. To put things into perspective in today's language, the price of a bride, which was called the bride price, back then was equivalent to what you would pay for a house right now. If they agreed on that price, the father, and this is the most important part, listen very closely, okay? If they agreed on a price for the bride, the father would hand the son a cup of wine. And the son would look at the girl and offer the cup to her. And then say the following, quote, "I offer you this cup." Think of salvation, by the way. "I offer you this cup." And what he is saying is, "I give you my life. Will you marry me?" She now has the choice to say yes or to decline his offer, but only after a negotiated price has been agreed to. So, if she says yes, as she lifts up the cup and drinks of it, she is saying, "I accept your life, and I give you mine as well." So when Jesus, at the Last Supper, holds the cup up and says, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you, drink of it," he is saying, "I love you all. Will you marry me? I am giving you my life. Will you give me yours as well?" Now we, like the bride in those days, have a choice to make. We can drink of the cup like she had the opportunity to do, or we don't have to drink from the cup. That's the power of free will. But as we drink of the cup, we say, as she said, "Jesus, Yeshua, I accept your life that you have laid down for me. And I give you mine. The price that Jesus paid on the cross for you, for me, for Larry, for everyone, is so significant that he literally sweat blood in the Garden of Gethsemane saying, Lord, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Yet he still went to the cross and laid down his life for all of us. The Last Supper was a marriage ceremony between the Son of God and not just the 12 disciples, to everyone for the rest of eternity on this earth, as long as we're here, to also lift up our cups, say yes or no, accept or decline, to become in a relationship with the Son of God. The Last Supper was a ceremony of unification. The Last Supper was attended to the same exact way as you would attend to the process of negotiating a price for a bride. Lord Jesus paid a price for his bride, us. That was the negotiated terms. Why do you think a wedding is like the wedding? Why do you think we have these wedding dinners and these parties? Why do you think that the Last Supper and a marriage between a man and a woman is so alike? Because we get it from that. The price that was negotiated for a bride was a very high price, a price that maybe they couldn't even come up with the money to pay. But once a price was negotiated, Jesus dying on a cross, and once the groom and his bride both lift up their cups and agree that I give you my life, now you give me yours, for eternity we are bound as one in one flesh. It is the same thing. They are equal. And that is why Jesus calls us his bride. And that he is going to come and blow that trumpet, just like the horn is blown in Jewish tradition when they go and they get the bride to marry. What's that called? What's that horn called? Everybody remind me in the live chat. I believe it starts with a P. Whatever that term is, that word is, the name for that horn that they blow, that's what it's signifying. When Jesus blows the trumpet and you hear that during the rapture and Jesus is coming back, it's signifying coming to get his bride. It's amazing. The similarities, the exact ceremony. Where do you gain this valuable information? God. Shofar, that's what it is. Blowing the shofar, exactly. Sorry, I didn't remember the name of that. I was thinking pofar. Shofar, yes. Where do I get this information? God just gives it to me in various different ways. Through conversations with people, through going through social media, looking at things that have to do with faith, videos that are sent to me, reading, from all over. From all over. I pray for a message every day. Messianic wedding message. Amen. Amen. What a great message today, huh? And you cannot deny the similarities. And when you realize that the Last Supper was a marriage ceremony and the disciples had no idea what was going on, but hindsight being 2020 now and looking back on that, and then thinking about how that tradition has carried from the Last Supper from before that until today, and we still somewhat follow that same tradition. Now, I know that we don't negotiate prices and all that, but the similarities are undeniable. And it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. When you think of it and you think of what I just described to you as the Last Supper being a wedding ceremony. But here's the thing. It wasn't just a wedding ceremony, again, like I said, between the disciples and Yeshua. It was a wedding ceremony between Yeshua and the rest of the world forever and all time. And that's why it is such a monumental event in our history. That is why it is painted everywhere and people have pictures of it everywhere. That is why it is the most popular image of all time. Now you know that the Last Supper was a wedding ceremony between Yeshua and all of us. And do you know what I say to that? I do. Would you like to change your status today? Remember back in when Facebook first came out and it was like in a relationship, single, it's complicated, XYZ? Remember that? Well, let's change our relationship today to in a relationship, or our status to in a relationship. If you are not in a relationship with Jesus after hearing what I just talked about this morning, if you are not married to Yeshua as I just described this morning, then change your status today and say, I do. I've done it. So many people in here have done it. You might as well do it too. We're approaching 1,500 wonderful people seeking the word of God today. And for all of you who just joined in, please, please, I implore you to go back and watch the rest of the show. It's going to blow your mind. And if you don't believe me, just ask the people in the live chat. Now, a lot of people ask me, why do you always look over here? Because right there on a screen is all your live chats. I have it down here too, but I'd rather look at the camera and just look over like that. So I'm not reading what I'm saying. I'm reading your live chats in case there's a question that I need to answer. Again, I do. I do. Before we get to Ray Comfort on this Monday, look what I opened up to. Read that. Comfort. How fitting. May our Lord, Jesus Christ himself, and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you. Now, how many of you spend any considerable time or have spent any considerable time without your spouse? And this includes people who have passed. When you're away from your spouse, when you're away from your husband, when you're away from your wife, there's no comfort. If you are in a true, honest relationship with your spouse under God, there is no comfort apart. Once you become one flesh and you are apart from each other, there's no comfort. That is the way that we should feel when we feel apart from Jesus, when we do not make Jesus a part of everything. So that was 2 Thessalonians 2:16. How about Psalm 94:17? Unless the Lord had helped me, I would soon have settled in the silence of the great. I cried out, I am slipping. But your unfailing love, O Lord, supported me. When doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. And the last one here. To all who mourn, he will give beauty for ashes. Joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. For God has planted them like strong, graceful oaks for his own glory. And now, it's time for Ray Comfort. Thank you for all those who stayed and got the message this morning. For everyone else who came in late, definitely check out the show and watch what you missed. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Comfort.
Joe Rogan says about Ezekiel being on drugs, let's look at DMT, a seeming drug of choice, and how it supposedly opens the human mind to God.
I've been told that you were born again, basically. Is it called DMT?
Yes. It's really mind-blowing.
Spiritual in nature, though,
yeah,
right?
Like you're just... Yeah, really, my whole life totally changed.
There is a little powder, and you smoke this little powder, and it will change the way you look at everything.
DMT is a psychedelic substance.
The craziest thing about DMT, because DMT is literally like having a meeting with God. It's like having a meeting with divine, unbelievably wise, incredibly loving energy, like whatever it is, the source of everything.
And when taken by a user, DMT causes intense hallucinations. Hallucinations involving seeing, hearing, smelling, feeling, or even tasting things that are just not real.
Here is one of Joe Rogan's guests talking about his experience with DMT and how it opened him to the spiritual realm. We know from the scriptures that these are deceiving spirits, something the Bible says will be prevalent in the last days. In the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits.
And I watched people doing DMT, and I was like, but if it ever comes my way, I'm going to do it. You want to try this? I was like, okay, before I change my mind, let's do this. I got, you know, a short glimpse at sort of a user manual for the cosmos. And in there was the knowledge that reincarnation is real, that the Buddhists have it right, that after you die, you go to the Bardo for 49 days, your
clearly
soul's out there.
Satanic.
You get a chance to kind of like assess the last life you led. Before you take another spin on the carousel, learn what you can, get rewarded for your good deeds, suffer for your sins, and then go back. And I believe it, but I also just like it, you know? I just like it.
Of course you like it, because it doesn't mention Judgment Day or the existence of hell. Napoleon said man will believe anything as long as it's not in the Bible, and it's so true. Sinful men hate the Bible because it speaks of moral responsibility.
Fundamentalist Christian idea of like you can just do a bunch of bad and then, you know, promise yourself to Jesus and have a clean slate. That I'm not buying that. You know?
Yeah,
but karma and reincarnation, I'm buying it.
You know, the Bible says there's no reincarnation. It says it's appointed a man once to die and after this the judgment.
We are the most complicated organism that we're currently aware of. In terms of our ability to manipulate our environment, our ability to communicate, our ability to create things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We don't have an operator's manual.
Right.
Do you think life comes with an owner's manual?
No.
No, I don't.
No?
No.
Everything else does. You get a car, it comes with an owner's manual. You get a new computer, it comes with an owner's manual. Because the manufacturer knows how to make it run best. What's the ultimate purpose for humanity to exist?
I think the purpose of humanity is just to... I don't know, actually.
You believe in God?
No, I don't.
So how did everything get here?
I mean, the Big Bang, I guess, planets collided, whatever, whatever.
Where did they come from?
I have no idea where any of this came from. Now.
That's because you haven't read the owner's manual. The owner's manual tells you where it all came from.
Okay, you're talking about the Bible, right?
Yeah, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, it's the biggest selling book of all time, and it tells us where we came from, what we're doing here, and where we go after we die. If you ignore the owner's manual, you'll end up confused. Life and death will be a frustrating mystery.
this existence that we're experiencing right now as human beings is just this very strange, confusing, almost like a puzzle.
What's going to happen to you after you die?
I don't know.
Ever read the Bible?
I have when I was younger, but that was back when I was very Catholic, grew up in a very Catholic household.
Okay, I'm not Catholic. I'm a Christian. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. And don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know what that means? If you're going to toss the bathwater out of a second-story building, make sure the baby isn't in the bathwater. And underneath the mess that's Catholicism, with its pedophile priests, etc., there's a God that cares about you, and he gave a Bible to tell us how we can find everlasting life. If you don't believe the Bible's opening chapters, that God made man uniquely in his own image, you'll probably think you're a primate. You'll fall for the unscientific, unproven, and unprovable foolishness of the theory of evolution.
It's very obvious that something happened that separated us from all the other primates, in a radical way.
Yeah.
We don't look anything like them. We have so many attributes that are far beyond any other primate.
What's our origin?
Evolution standpoint, we came from all the way back. We evolved from fish to continue down. That's a big tree of branches that we came down of.
What was before the fish?
It would be cells.
Where did they come from?
Within that, that's more bio stuff. I'm not bio. I'm physics, not bio.
You don't know, do you? Because you haven't read the owner's manual. Do you think we're created in God's image, as male and female, uniquely among creation, or are we primates? Do you believe in evolution?
Yeah, I think that's real.
Do you think you're a primate?
It doesn't believe that I'm a primate necessarily, because there's like...
It does. It says you're a primate. You start off bent over, and over millions of years, you're straightened up, and now you go to work. Primate.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say no.
You believe you're made in God's image, as male and female?
Yeah.
I think we were created.
But then when you hear about something like the Catholic Church, there was Pope Benedict.
Pope Benedict XVI has responded to allegations that cases involving pedophile priests in his native Germany had been mishandled.
I was looking into it, and you find out what that guy did, and one of the things that he did that's so evil is he would move people. So he would take a priest that was molesting kids and just move him to another unsuspecting place. He went on to molest, one of these guys that they caught went on to molest 100 deaf kids, at least 100 that they're aware of.
Case after case of alleged sexual misconduct.
Committed by Catholic priests and covered up by bishops.
Hundreds of priests had sexually abused thousands of children over decades.
The Catholic clergy in Portugal sexually abused nearly 5,000 children.
And the total number of Illinois children known to have been abused by priests and other Catholic churchmen at almost 2,000.
Hundreds of new allegations against Northern California priests, including some who still work here.
And allegations of Florida children being sexually abused by Catholic priests.
About 200,000 minors have been victims of predatory clergymen and others affiliated with the church.
Even raped as young as 6, 7, 8 years old.
Credibly accused of sexual abuse.
42 names here in the Galveston, Houston Archdiocese, including Father John Keller.
The St. John of God Order of Priests, the allegation is that 40% of them were accused of abuse.
More than 150 Catholic priests and others are accused of abusing more than 600 children.
More than 1,000 victims of more than 300 Roman Catholic priests.
A website that tracks clergy abuse in all 50 states lists more than 5,000. Listen to that, 5,000 current or former priests who have been publicly accused.
After a similar investigation in France revealed around 3,000 clergy members sexually abused over 200,000 children.
I went to Catholic school and nothing happened to me, but things did happen to people that I know that did go to Catholic school.
When I was in the Catholic Church, I was fortunate that I wasn't abused by priests.
When you hear the term Catholic priest,
right,
pedophile right. is right. Like right. if you were playing a game, charades? Right. You'd say Catholic priest, pedophile.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? It's
right.
like
right.
It's,
right. And it was an open secret for so long too. I think a lot of the priests were probably drawn to the church for the access to kids. I mean, Kirtanananda in New Vrindavan built himself a little pedophile heaven up there.
I mean, there's real Christians out there that are really great, wonderful people that want to live by the teachings of Christ and live a better, more just and holy life. And they really do want to live like that. And then there's psychos who want private jets and a giant arena to have all their followers, and they want mansions. And
make sure you watch this video to the end to hear the amazing things that Joe Rogan said about the prophet Ezekiel taking psychedelic drugs.
Even in the Bible, in Ezekiel's description of the wheel within a wheel, and have you read that description?
No. I got a problem. Mm-hmm. My problem is I think you're in terrible danger, but you don't realize it. You think you're in terrible danger?
No.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Many.
Ever stolen something?
Yes.
Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yeah, but I do try not to.
You love your mom?
Yeah, of course I do.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word?
No.
Oh, because you respect her?
Yes.
But you don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You've taken his holy name and used it as a cuss word. Hmm. That's called blasphemy, very serious in God's eyes. Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart.
Who is Jesus?
Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
Jesus.
Have you ever looked at
all
a
woman? All the time.
Yeah, have you had sex before marriage?
All the time.
So here's a summation of your court case on Judgment Day. You have told me you're a lying thief, a blasphemer, a fornicator, and an adulterer at heart, and you have to face God on Judgment Day.
I have to face whom?
God.
Judgment Day? When the day I die, that's it. There's nothing after that.
You're going to get the shock of your death.
And who's right and who's wrong? I bet you every other religion will say the same thing you're about to say right now.
Okay. All those religions you've mentioned, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, they're what's called works righteousness religions. They say you have to do something to earn everlasting life. Fast, pray, repent, face Mecca, do religious works. But the thing that changes everything, Valentino, is that God is a judge. And you can't offer a judge anything if you're a guilty criminal. That's bribery. All you can do is throw yourself on the mercy of the judge. We're in debt to God's law. We've broken his commandments. But the Bible says this creator, the God that created us, is rich in mercy, and he provided a savior for the whole of humanity. That's good news for Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists. Whosoever will may come, God will give everlasting life as a free gift to all who repent and put their faith in Jesus. That's good news for the whole of humanity. If he judges you by the Ten Commandments, you're going to be innocent or guilty.
We'll find out.
Well, you're guilty like the rest of us. Lying, thieving, blasphemous, adulterer.
Well, definitely not pure of heart.
Yeah, that's it. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And the Bible warns all liars love their part in the lake of fire. No thief, no blasphemer, no adulterer, no fornicator will inherit God's kingdom. What did God do for guilty sinners so he wouldn't have to go to hell?
He sacrificed his son.
So Jesus died for our sins. You know that as a Catholic. Here you are under God's wrath, justly condemned, heading for hell. How can Jesus dying for our sins help you?
I don't know.
You don't know? The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's what happened on that cross. That's why he said, it is finished. Just before he died, he was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and someone pays your speeding fines, a judge can let you go even though you're guilty, and it's legal. He says, you're out of here, someone's paid your fine. Well, God can take the death sentence off you because the fine was paid in full on that cross. He can grant you everlasting life as a free gift because of that death and resurrection. And all you have to do to find everlasting life is repent of your sins, and you'll never repent unless you're honest about your sins. Let's just say, oh, I've done things that I know are seriously wrong morally in God's eyes. Repent and then trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute. If you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute?
To live.
Yeah, and your motivation is fear. And that fear is your friend. It's not your enemy because it's making you put on a parachute. It's doing you a favor. And because I care about you, because you're in terrible mortal danger, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today. I've tried to make you a little scared, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy. Because it'll make you serious with the God that gave you life. Would you sell an eye for $1 million?
No, I wouldn't.
Would you sell both for $100 million?
No.
So can you see how precious your God-given eyes are? Mm. And yet they're merely the windows of your soul. So if you wouldn't give up your eyes for $100 million, why would you give up your soul for the love of sin? Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?
And ladies and gentlemen, that's going to run us to the end of the show today, but I did want to explain one thing to you, and that was this. The reason why you hear so much about the Catholic Church isn't because people are trying to bash it. It's not what they're doing. Everyone that does not believe in God thinks that Christianity is only the Catholic Church, and you have to know how to differentiate that, and you have to know how to have a debate about that where it makes sense to them. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, God bless you guys. I love you all. Pray for Larry and his family. Pray for all of you. Mike Crispy comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America, right here on LFA TV, rumble.com. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great morning. See you later. Lord Jesus, come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Yeah. Those songs of faith are rising up tonight. Lord, you pray.